Welcome to another episode of Biking in Color, the podcast about the intersection between bikes and youth who have a whole lot of melanin, and how the simple act of riding a bike can make a massive impact on their lives. Hey everyone, I don't have much to say about the Marjory Stoneman Douglas high school shooting in Parkman, Florida, other than the fact that as a youth leadership and development organization, I'm extremely excited about the possibilities that can come out of this nationwide movement. I'm reminded of the youth in Soweto, South Africa, and I'm also reminded of the youth here in the United States during the Civil Rights Movement.
Hi, welcome to Biking in Color. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Biking in Color serves two purposes. Biking in Color is personal stories from youth who've traveled cross-country with the Spoken Revolution's youth cycling program. It also serves as the newsletter for Triangle Bike Works for announcements. We're announcing our next summer tour is Bikes, Water, and Soul. Teens make shift happen while exploring connections between people and water. When rain falls in the forest, trickles over soil and into streams, do you know where it shows up days later? In the faucets of our capital city of Raleigh. And even years later, in a fresh, salty taste of North Carolina as a delicious oyster. This summer, 20 teens will follow the Neuse River through 18 counties and 77 towns to reach the Atlantic Ocean to complete just one-third of the extraordinary tour. To give you a high-level view, we are going to leave our hometown of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, make our way to Durham, up to Stagsville's historic site of a former plantation, then wind our way through Falls Lake, down through the Neuse River Trail onto the coast, stopping at Harkers Island. We'll ride up the Outer Banks, come back into the mainland at Point Harbor, and wind our way through Warren County and Soul City. This collaboration between Triangle Land Conservancy and Triangle Bike Works will have teens riding through beautiful farmland, stately forests, and historic sites where people of color changed the course of culture and conservation. And environmental justice was born. Triangle Bike Works Youth Cycling Program provides innovative learning experiences to address academic needs while helping children and youth develop self-awareness and leadership skills. This summer, they'll depart July 7th for a life-changing 14-day tour of historic North Carolina. You can help them complete this journey by making a gift today of $62 or more. Be instrumental in transforming the life of a youth today. And learn why Triangle Land Conservancy, the Conservation Trust of North Carolina, and the City of Raleigh see these historic places as crucial safeguards for our drinking water. So the reason we started SNR is really not the reason it exists today. You see, back then, it seems like forever now, but we were naive in thinking that we had to show how exceptional black and brown children are. It was 2008 when we gathered our children together in a family meeting. Our four older ones told us that the teachers here think all the black kids are dumb. So, you know, immediately we began advocating for students of color in the district. It was a couple years later, maybe, that I had a conversation with a school board member, and I was told that the school district is like a cruise ship. Doesn't turn on a dime, and when you want change, it takes a long time to make significant change. At the time that we were advocating, the achievement gap between black and brown students and their white and Asian peers was just over 30%, maybe 34-35%. So for the record, if you don't know, the achievement gap is the persistent disparity when measuring educational performance between racial groups and socioeconomic groups. And so, like, if I look now, the number is no longer in the 30% range. It's in the 40 percentile range. So as I said, you know, we naively formed Spoken Revolutions thinking that we needed to prove something. Our first tour was of the Underground Railroad, the subject of this first season of Biking in Color. We were taking youth on cross-country bike rides of over 1,000 miles. We thought it would be good if we linked history with community service. The youth would visit national parks and speak with knowledgeable park rangers who are phenomenal about textbook moments in history. They met small town historians that we didn't expect to meet, who work hard at keeping Black history alive, keeping their history alive, because it's not history found in textbooks. On that first tour, we learned that it wasn't about the achievement of biking a great distance, or it definitely wasn't about proving worth to someone. The only person who needed proof of their worth was the youth. We definitely saw a transformation when they learned history told from the perspective of people of color. People surviving and making a way, regardless of the odds against them. It was with these historic personal achievements that the youth were actually seeing themselves for the first time. And from that, Triangle Bike Works has its core philosophy. Given the opportunity, anyone can find their potential and succeed. That brings us to this interview. Interviewing is nothing like having a conversation. I mean, think about it. In a conversation, you're listening to whoever you're talking to, and depending on who you are and how polite you are, you're either earnestly listening or earnestly listening for that particular break. That pause for air that lasts just a little too long so you can interject and make your point. Because that's really what you want to do, right? Make your point. Interviewing is different. In an interview, you don't have to be on guard. The person you're talking to actually wants to hear what you have to say. And that's the very point. You get to open up and let the world know who you are. And that's refreshing. Today's podcast is about our good friend, Bob Brogdon. Bob was our original guy for these cross-country bike tours. He was the only one who we trusted to get us from Mobile, Alabama to Niagara Falls safely. You know, it became evident that after this recording, that Itza and I realized that we don't really know Bob. Yeah, we biked cross country with him 3 times, but we can't really say that we know him. We both remember fond stories about Bob that will always stick with us, but no, we don't know him. We don't know him like his core philosophies. We don't know what makes him tick, what drives him to teach for so long. Then Bob's not that complicated a guy. He stands about 6 feet tall, has a balding head, and wears glasses. In no way would you consider that intimidating unless he was a judge. Even squinches his nose when he's looking down his glasses to read something. You hear his southern charm the moment he introduces himself. In this interview, Bob gets to his core philosophy, his reason for teaching, and his outlook on life. Let's have you meet Bob.
No, hold on. I really have something I want to say. I just can't formulate it in my head right now.
He just changed me.
This just has everything to do with us. This is why we're here.
All you need is a bike and some willpower.
Can't really just give up like that. You gotta keep pushing.
learning as I went in a lot of cases. So, anyway, I'm Bob Brogdon, and I came to know this group. I was teaching at East Chapel Hill High, and Malik was in my history class.
He was my history teacher in high school, and he would tell us about the stories about him biking. And that's why Malik went up to you and told you about it.
I don't know. The way I remember it is we tricked him, but maybe we didn't trick him. Maybe he tricked us.
One day, the school had like this cultural festival, had different speakers come in, talk about a variety of topics. And I had volunteered to do a session on my bicycle trips that I'd taken. So Malik came and listened, and he goes home and he tells Kevin and his mother, said, "Wow, this history teacher has done all these bike trips," and that kind of put this, I don't know if it planted the bug in their brain, but it maybe kickstarted some thinking they had been doing. And next thing I know, I'm kind of drawn into this. It's not a situation, I wouldn't call it that, but drawn into it. It turned out to be a really good thing. I wasn't sure what I was getting into. I'm not so sure Kevin and Sapenda or any of the kids really knew what they were getting into either.
That's for sure.
But it was a leap of faith on many levels. I mean, anytime you travel bicycles, you have to trust the universe to some degree that things will work out, and usually they do. I'm still alive, still kicking, so I guess that's a testament to that.
So first, so in high school, we watched some Western movie, and in it, one of the characters says, "You're burning daylight." And on tour, this was Mr. Brogdon's favorite line to say every single morning, and even throughout the day. And that one time where we were all ready and Mr. Brogdon went to the bathroom and the boys thought it would be really funny to let all the air out of his tire and then hide it. Did they hide it? Mm-hmm. And so we're all waiting there, we're ready to go, and Mr. Brogdon comes back and he realizes his bike is gone. Everybody's giggling. He goes, "Where's my bike?"
"Where's my bike?"
And so then he's looking for his bike, finds the bike, and he's rolling, and he's like, "Okay, ha ha ha, very funny." He puts on his helmet, and then we're about to go, and he realizes he has a flat. And Mr. Brogdon, being the diligent person he is, he was getting ready to put his bike upside down and start doing what he had to do to figure out what caused the flat. And that's when everybody was like, no, you just have to pump air back into it.
All right, so let's say, I remember when Bob, and this was in the Underground Railroad, this was in Columbus, Ohio, and we were waiting for Rich to come out of the bus station. And at this time, Kevon was pretty much the cut up of the whole crew. And he had this tendency to, when everyone stopped, he was on the ground. So this guy could fall. He could fall at any point. He would be in someone's way. So at this point, we already had a rough start because the boys were cutting up, lagging behind the rest of the group, even though they had the strength to power ahead of everyone. Just a lot of frustration. Keep in mind, it was our first tour, so we weren't really mellowed out yet. And Kevon, as we started off from the bus station parking lot, Kevon crossed in front of Bob. And Bob kind of lost it.
I think everybody has those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not human if you don't have those moments.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that what it teaches everybody, myself, the kids, you, what it teaches us is that it's okay to mess up. It's okay to lose it. Mm-hmm. What's not okay is to have it drag out for an extended period, or to let it disintegrate into something that's very personal, that right. that continues to go on, and that you move forward without apology.
So there was an unspoken code, and that code was Bob's the riot leader and no one passes him. And I mean, actually no one really had the legs to pass him, you know, because we weren't that strong. But it was just unspoken that he's the riot leader. We don't know where we're going. He's reading the maps. Just stay behind him.
You know, but I do remember that with Chris, about he wanted, we were going up some hill and he wanted to race me. And the other guy said, don't get him stirred up. Don't get him stirred up. No, don't do that. Oh, man. Chris was dead after that. Well, you know, then there was another time, that little that park up there where we camped on the beach outside of Erie.
That is
Presque Isle.
Sierra's campground, Presque Isle.
Yeah, and we were riding through the doing a loop through the park, and Marshall and all that. We were all up there, and the other bicyclists came past us, and I took off, you know.
And that just triggered everybody else to follow.
I took off just to, I was going to ride on their wheel, you know, the whole group, you know, went with me, you know. It was kind of like, God, it's kind of like overly competitive here, but.
Yeah. Just like out of
That's joke. All right. The kids, they fell right in with it, you know. I used to tell this story about when I was teaching, kids would come to me and say, well, should I take AP history, US history, or should I take regular history? I said, and I'd always say, well, I wouldn't take AP history. And they go, but you're a history teacher. You should be encouraging people to take AP US history. I said, well, that's not the way I look at history. So they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, let's look at it this way. I can get in a plane. I can leave Raleigh-Durham Airport and I can fly to Portland, Oregon. And I can be there in about 6 hours. My bike and ride there, be there about 6 or 7 weeks. And I'd always say to the kids, which way are you gonna learn more about your country? And I'd never had a kid tell me anything other than, well, of course you learn more riding a bike across it. I said, exactly. So when you take AP US history, that's like you're taking a flight across. Regular US history is kind of like you're taking a car. And you know, the kids in the back seat, oh, can we stop and look at that? Well, just for a few minutes, we got to move on. But on a bike, that's like taking a very specialized course. And oh, that's very nice. Maybe I'll spend 2 or 3 hours here and check this out, stop and talk to this person, go to this store, go here, stay here this night. I mean, it still has some limitations, but you learn a lot more about your country. So Underground Railroad, you learn a lot more about the Underground Railroad than you could ever learn in a classroom. You'd have to read an awful lot of books to get all the knowledge you gained on that trip. And plus you get to see a side of America that you just don't see very often.
So let's take a break. And when we come back, Bob will discuss some of the moments that he and the youth experienced while on that first tour.
Thank you.
This episode of Biking in Color is brought to you by Triangle Bike Works. Triangle Bike Works is a nonprofit dedicated to provide.
This episode of Bike in Color is brought to you by Triangle Bike Works. Triangle Bike Works is a nonprofit
seeking to prevent summer learning loss through youth cycling experiences
dedicated to
enrich the mind, body, and spirit.
Welcome back from the break. Now here's some moments that Bob remembers that he and the youth experienced while on tour that stood out to him, and some of his viewpoints on the beauty of Spoken Revolutions.
Yeah, that Saturday afternoon, right?
Mm-hmm. Juneteenth celebration.
Right, and we went in there and didn't we get in a wagon or something?
And took a tour of the town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. I just remembered the play in the subway.
Oh, you know what else I remember, Alabama, was riding through that town the tornado had leveled.
Right.
You know, I had, that's because when we were doing Tornado Awareness Week at the school, three or four weeks ago, I was just talking with the kids about tornadoes, and I said, look, I rode through a town in Alabama that had just leveled. About every building in the town had been destroyed. I said, I could not believe my eyes. I said, it looked like someone dropped a bomb on the town. They went, really? I went, yes, and there were still people there who were all bandaged up and all that. And it was just, I said, you don't have to convince me of the power of tornadoes. You know, I mean, not after what I saw there. And so for me, it opened my eyes. Not that they were closed, but it opened my eyes, and it certainly, you know, put things in perspective. And yes, I understand, you know, as a white person, I understood that okay, yes, I had certain privileges that a lot of people, white and black and Hispanic, don't have. I had a lot, you know, I'd like to think that I've worked hard nonetheless, but tried to make things better for everybody. But you know, I think anything like these bike trips can give these kids confidence to face the world. But you know, it's knowing that history, I think we would help a lot, particularly with some of the stuff that's going on today. And you know, and particularly I think for you know, young black males, because I think it's really, if you stop and think about what they have to face, it's pretty tough. It's a lot of stuff going on now that bothers me. But, you know, I think taking that trip, I don't know if we ever really talked about this, how much of the overt racism you might have experienced on that. I think there were
Underground Railroad, there were at least one in Tennessee with a little girl.
Yes, at the camp. Yes, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, they're right. Yeah, I'm trying to remember it.
We had one each tour, but that was the first and the most.
But I feel like that's a point. I feel like that's something we're going to come across, you know, like when we're older in life, and even in high school, going on these bike trips, like we're going on the Underground Railroad, and we know, like, where that history is and stuff. Yeah, we're just trying to make s'mores and stuff, and then this little white girl comes over, and she just starts blasting, saying all this horrible stuff, you know?
Right.
But like you said, it's happened at least once on every single trip. Yeah. And then you just can't get around that.
I'll never forget the place in Tennessee where we stopped for directions at that trailer and the Confederate flag.
If you remember, Ife also had a memory of this.
And then all of a sudden, like, I look up and I see this huge Confederate flag flying in this guy's yard.
Yeah.
And you just went up the door and the kids were back there just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And the guy was, you know, the guy came out, he was you know, he wasn't ugly or anything. He's not, he kind of he gave directions. Yeah. You know, you asked him for directions. He told you. And
he sent us in the right direction.
Yeah.
It was a good thing.
You know, it's a great trip. It's a great opportunity to learn not just about, in this case, the Underground Railroad, but I mean, you stop thinking about all the other stuff you learn about. You learn about the river system of the country. You you learn about the vegetation patterns of the country. You learn so many different things about the country in addition to the stories of the people on the Underground Railroad. And you know, I still remember going up in the church steeple there, I think it was in Alabama, going up in that old church, and they showed us where, you know, they hid them up there in the steeple. The tunnel there in Maysville, the room where they had the shackles, it, you know, I think, I don't know if they were still in the ceiling or not, but you know, just those kinds of things that really bring you face to face.
We did see blood on the wall.
Yeah, well, the blood on the wall, it brings
that
you
face.
Yeah, it,
that was
but
tough.
It brings the Underground Railroad Museum. It brings you face to face with that history that a lot of people don't know. And, you know, kind of going off a little bit different direction, but I think it's all tied into this, is that it's important not just for kids of color to know those stories, but I think it's important for everybody to know that story, because I think then there would be greater understanding of what Black America fears about, whether it's police interactions, whether it's a problem in school, whether it's you know, you go in a store and you're watched, you're stopped because, you know, it those are legitimate concerns, and right. If people knew that history, they would say, oh yeah, I see where they're coming from. But the kids of color that I work with, you know, for a lot of them, this is totally so far outside their comfort zone, that is daunting, it's intimidating. You know, a lot of parents, it's so far outside their comfort zone, they're like, they're afraid to let their kid do it. And I think sometimes it's, you know, like, you know, it'll be okay that you got, you know, your kid will get through this and will be a better person for having done so.
So then I asked Bob what he thought was an outstanding point of the tours, and what actually was like the golden moment that brings it all together.
The golden moment was what the kids took away from it and carried with them from that. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, increased self-confidence, this this newfound awareness, oh, I can face what seemed like a daunting challenge, and I can face that, and through hard work, through determination, through perseverance, that I can accomplish something, accomplish a goal. And those kinds of things, the kids should carry with them going forward the rest of their life, because those are things that really help you be successful in life. Whereas you work hard, that you are determined to achieve something. So, you know, it's those kinds of things that that for the kids teaches them, you know, about the country, not just the Underground Railroad. And it is, but you know, the theme was the Underground Railroad, and I thought that if what the things that really stood out for me, things I remember from the history of the Underground Railroad that we saw over the church, we visited the tunnel, the Underground Railroad Museum. I remember those things very well, and I think the kids probably remember them well. But you know, we also had a lot of other history that we learned along the way there too. So,
right.
And I think that's kind of what you've been, the Triangle Bike Works, one of the things they've been trying to do is build not only bodies, not only minds, but build spirit, build and get these kids to believe in themselves and say, oh, I can do this, and learn and have a little fun and yes, a little pain along the way, yes. But in the end, when you look back, is when you get that sense of personal accomplishment, that sense of, oh, I did that, and nobody can take that away from you. And hopefully you learn from that oh, you take that. It's one of the things I've always stressed with the kids at camp when it was over, that you take all the difficulties and challenges that you dealt with on your journey, and you apply them to other aspects of your life. Mm-hmm. And you realize that you can overcome those difficulties. You can meet those challenges because you've done it. And realize that it is hard, that it's not going to always go your way. The sun's not going to always shine. The wind's not going to always blow at your back. But you learn, well, I survived that. It made, you know, that which does not kill us makes us stronger, you know.
Or kills you.
Or kills you, yes. Okay.
This has been another episode of Biking in Color, the podcast about the intersection between bikes and youth who have a whole lot of melanin. And the simple fact that a simple bike ride can make a massive impact on their lives. You can look us up on Facebook with fb.com/triangle.bikeworks.
This podcast is about what the youth of Spoken Revolutions experience while they're out on tour. There's no cost to any of the students who participate in the SNR program. They get the bikes and all the equipment they need for the trip.
So this podcast is basically validation from a retired teacher who did a very good job at teaching young adults. And he went on tour with us for 3 years, and he's pretty much said, keep doing what you're doing, because you're changing lives. One revolution at a time.
I was really good at saying it. So Kevin, we did the math, and we found out we only need 285 people to give just $62. So we can send 20 youth on a 2-week bike tour, and 20 youth will have an experience they will cherish forever.
Musical credits goes to North Carolina artist Ryan Little, who's doing his thing in Fayetteville and gave me permission to use his music. At Triangle Bike Works, we bring good kids to bikes.